Ask the Podcast Coach for August 23rd, 2014.
Let's get ready to podcast.
Oh, there it is. I miss that music. It is Saturday morning. We are live at askthepodcastcoach.com/live. I am your smiling host, Dave Jackson from the School of Podcasting.com, as he frantically turns knobs. And I'm out of practice. Last week we're at Podcast Movement, and I missed my buddy sitting right over there, Jim Carlson from The Average Guy TV. Jim, how's it going?
It's going good, Dave. Good to have you back in the chair. It was a weird Saturday. Usually I'm the one gone, and you were out for Podcast Movement. And good to have you back.
And we have a special voice in studio today. We're just going to have a voice. Like, he could be like...
Well, hello.
Yes, playing the voice of God today is the one and only Matt... Is it just the way it's written, man? Just Lovell?
That is it.
Lovell. Matt, yep. Lovell from mindingthegap.net just published his very first podcast. So, right there.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. So, here, Matt, I'm going to actually turn my camera around. I'll probably regret this, but he's sitting in the dark. And there he is. So...
Smiling like a goofball.
I met him at Podcast Movement. He's like, hey, I'm going to be in Cleveland next week. I'm like, well, dude, stop on by. And we had breakfast at Denny's. And you know me, names not numbers. So it's very cool. So anything exciting happen while we were gone?
Not on this end.
Yeah.
I jumped in the chat room. Did you lock the chat room while you were gone?
No, I didn't know you could lock a chat room.
I tried to log in Saturday morning just to see if anybody showed up, and I could not make a post. I don't know what. It was the weirdest thing. So I just gave up, and most of the guys, I think, got the message.
Yeah, that's really odd. Because I thought I sent out a tweet that said no show, and we said last week, but you know, it's habit
like
at this point.
Up. It is. I like to show up. If anybody shows up in chat, I would have had a little.
Yeah, you could have had
back
a, you know,
forth with them. Yeah.
Ask the podcast coach.
This is my
chat.
Normal routine to come down to the basement. You know, get some work done. I've got my own podcast. It's Saturday mornings are typically when I do most of my editing and producing and those kinds of things. So it was in routine. Speaking of routine, the numbers of callers have been coming up. Dave, how do folks call into this show?
That number is, he said, pushing the button. It is. 845-262-2401. That number again, 845-262-2401. Open lines now, and we'll talk about whatever you want. Until then, I thought I would share just a little. In a way, I don't want to talk about Podcast Movement because you weren't there, but should I talk about Podcast Movement?
That's okay. Yeah, talk about it. No, I kind of followed it from the fringe.
Here's the thing that I went to Todd Cochran, who, of course, runs Blueberry, and the guys behind PowerPress, and he did a thing where he brought an actual ad buyer on. And in a nutshell, here's what I got from that. It doesn't matter what you're saying. It doesn't matter what you're doing. You could fart for an hour. If you get 10,000 downloads, they will put advertising on that. That's it. But that was the thing. You got to have 10,000. 5,000, they'll sniff. They'll go, is this okay? We could do that maybe.
10,000 a show or 10,000 a month?
I'm sorry, 10,000 per episode.
Per episode.
Per episode was the magic number. And so that was kind of different. But the thing I thought was interesting is, want to guess what they were saying the CPM was?
Yeah. What was it?
Go ahead and guess. It's a game.
27.
I'm sorry, you've overbid.
17.
I'm sorry, you've overbid.
$12.
That would be in range, 10 to 15. And that's when I went, ew.
Yeah, that's not a lot.
I'm like, ow, that was not what I was looking for. Now, and that's,
what did Dumas say his CPM was?
40.
Yeah.
And I went, okay. And somebody even said, it was Lou Mangello from WDW Radio said, do you guys take into effect how niche it is? Like, hey, in the case of Lou, I've got Disney people, and Disney people have money because you can't go to Disney for free. And he kind of went, yeah, they kind of think about it. But in the end, it was, you got 10,000 downloads was what I took away from that.
It's a pure numbers play, right?
I mean, it is. It really is. Yeah. And
that's why the CPM would be lower, because it isn't accounting for the niche.
Right. And so the other thing that came out of that is I was going to try to say boobs, but I won't say boobs. If you're a female, they want you because there are advertisers that are trying to get in contact with the female audience, and they're looking for that. So if you're a female podcaster, now of course they're going to want you to have 10,000 downloads. But that's the cool thing with Blueberry. If you don't have 10,000 downloads, that's one of the things that Blueberry does. And again, that's no ease in Blueberry, just blubry.com, is they will pull all the, let's say, female podcasters. Let's say you have 800 and she has, you know, 400 and this person has 60 and that person has 100. They'll pull them all together. And then that way you can get sponsorship that way. So that was an interesting panel. Just it was like the bottom line was just numbers, 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 and numbers, and then the 10 to 15 CPM. But here's the other one that I thought was really like, wow, as much as people are like, I can't get a sponsor, man. I don't know what's going on. I can't get a sponsor, man. Todd sent out a thing to sports podcasters, and I wish I can't wait to get the recording on this. I'm going to say it was something like 700 podcasters. And then he got like a response that was like six. Like he's like, hey guys, I've got somebody really interested in your show. Email me back. Make sure you're up to date. Blah, blah, blah. Here's a potential sponsor. He can't get people to email him back. So on one hand, all I hear is I want to make money with my podcast. I want to get a sponsor. Todd goes, here we go. Food on the table. Let's go, kids. And nobody's emailing him back. And I found that rather interesting. Why do you think that is, Dave? I don't know.
On the Average Guy Network, I mean, I've pretty much decided we're not going to go advertising route. I'm going to continue to stay free. But for those folks that do choose, what do you think the barrier is? It just time? Is it what's that barrier?
I don't know, because I thought, you know, whatever email you use, you better be checking that email. But he was saying that it wasn't that people were emailing him back to say, I'm not interested. He got like no response. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's it. Maybe people are looking at it and seeing, you know, what the CPM is and thinking, well, that means I'm going to make, you know, whatever. If I have 300 downloads a show, I'm going to make a third of that. So I'm going to make $4. Maybe they don't think it's worth it.
Yeah, maybe they just don't. We've got Matt there, right? He's a new podcaster, right? And yep. So, Matt, when we talk about advertising, I mean, what are your kind of thoughts? Where are you at? What's going on in your head?
Oh, for me, it seems just so foreign at this point. You know, a victory for me is getting episode 2 on the air, which is coming, you know, in the next day or so. But for me, I would love to do the monetizing thing. So, but I have no point of reference on what's good and bad. What makes 12 CPM good versus what John is getting at 40, you know, that sort of thing. I can't even put that in a frame of reference.
Yeah. So it's just a matter of knowing, right? At this point, I mean, right. 40 is greater than 12. And so, you know, you know that, but it's still, yeah, just the context around it. It is kind of a hassle, Dave. I mean, you think about how small those numbers are, and you're right. You know, you're like, am I really going to, you know, a good number of us don't have 10,000, to, you know, for every single episode. And so you're kind of thinking, well, do I do this for the $12? Or, I mean, I'm having success on, well, we don't advertise, outside the network. I'm having great success on Amazon. And that's more like 150 to 300 a month. And so that, you know, that's that. And those are real bones.
I did a post a while ago with my when I first started talking about the Fitbit on my Logical Weight Loss podcast. It turned out to be $52 CPM because I found a product that I liked, that I was using, that I could talk about honestly. And then if somebody bought one, I made $9. And a bunch of people did, and they became my Fitbit friends and all that. And I went back and looked at the numbers, and I'm like, wait a minute, if I made this much money and I only had this many downloads, you know, you cross the you carry the one and that whole nine yards. And I was like, wow, I'm making $52 CPM. So if you find the right product, affiliate marketing can be huge. So, but that was one that jumped out at me. Matt, what any sessions you go to that you went, wow, that was good stuff? Chris Brogan he kicked it off.
I was going to say Chris's session was the top of my list, and we were chatting about this at breakfast, but Justin Crossley, who talked about just the podcasting network, who runs the Brewing Network, and he did a fantastic panel on his story and how, you know, he started with an idea And the idea simply turned into, I wanted to brew beer at home, but I have no idea how to do it. And he had a background in broadcasting. So he said, well, I'm just going to interview people on how to do this. And that was 9 years ago. And that's turned into now this huge thing that he does in the Bay Area. He's known as the beer guy, and so many things going on now. So that was inspirational just to know that it starts with episode one.
Yeah. The thing I loved about Brogan's speech is he just came out and said, look, we were doing this in 2006. We all thought we were going to change our, you know, quit our day jobs and just said that didn't happen and this and that. And he basically just called everybody out, quit copying each other. He goes, nobody won a race or when you run a race, you would love this, Jim, being a runner, you don't look sideways, right? You're running like this forward.
And yeah, I love that.
And I was like, man, that's such a great line. So, and then he got me thinking. He said, if you're working on a bunch of stuff and something isn't working, he said, kill your babies. Kill your babies. He goes, if it's not working, if it's not getting the response you want, he says, there are plenty of times that, yeah, we're right on the edge of success. He goes, but there are plenty of times when we're just putting in, you know, resources and time into things that just are not going to work. And we keep doing them because we it's our baby. And he's like, yeah, kill your babies. Now, don't, he says, I'm not telling you to go home and kill your children. He's like, but kill your babies.
Yeah, unless it's a labor of love. I mean, right. If you're doing it and you love doing it and you're okay with, you know, if your goal is 100 downloads and you're getting 50 and you know, if you're okay with that, just keep going. I mean, it all depends. I mean, again, we get very competitive in this when we don't need to sometimes.
Yeah, that's a key point about the whole podcast movement. And I heard some people kind of complain about this. To me, I'm like, come on, if you want to sell tickets to podcast movement, because I heard some people say it seemed like it was very entrepreneur specific, very business oriented. And it's funny because the last day I walked around and just give me a last five and five to people I'd never even met. And they're like, well, I'd like to listen to shows on marketing. And it was like Pat Flynn. It was like almost the same five, you know? To me, I didn't find that as a complaint. I was like, look, if you want to sell tickets to a thing, what's the hot thing? You know, if we had done this 2 years ago, we would have had a bunch of comedians up there. I found it, the sessions I went to were good. The networking was cool. The venue was phenomenal. And really the only thing that I went, wow, that did not work, was they had this cool thing where you would come out of the rooms and basically what amounted to a big, what would you call that? It's like a big, really wide hallway where all the vendor booths were. So where at New Media Expo, where you have to like go to the next, you know, county to see the booths were right outside your door, which was really cool. Cause I don't know about you, man, at the end of NMX, my legs are tired. I'm beat. I've walked a mile. And so I walked out and there were all the booths. And then they tried at times during this networking time to have events. And the one that really bummed me out is Daniel J. Lewis, who knew it, is hilarious because I got to see, he did his presentation just for me because we were roommates. And it just, I mean, about fell off the bed laughing. It was hilarious. And the other guy was a sponsor, Clifton, who does the Comedy Forecast. And these poor guys are standing on a stage and they're trying, the guy that emceed it was trying to get people, you know, to listen, and you just can't get a couple hundred people. You can't get their attention, even with a really loud microphone. We just couldn't do it. And so here's poor Clifton and Daniel. Literally, you want to go Rodney Dangerfield. Talk about a tough room. They just weren't listening. And I'll give credit to both those guys that they did their best. Daniel actually got me laughing because he was poking fun of the fact that nobody was listening. And I would just say next year, put that in the big room, because don't put it in a little room because it's the only thing going on during this networking time. But other than that, did you think anything, Matt, that, cause everything else was, you know, I got there, I checked in, they have a really nice full color, magazine type thing for all the speakers and all the events. Anything you could think of that?
No, aside from everything that's already been mentioned, I had a blast, you know, and I know Jared personally, and I met Dan while I was there, and those guys, yeah, I can tell just poured their heart and soul into making this thing work. And was it entrepreneur heavy? Sure. But at the same time, if you look at the four founders, that's kind of their area of focus.
Yeah.
But it can only expand from there, you know, and there's a bunch of niches. There's the comedy, and I think there was only one sports panel that was done. So there's so many other areas of podcasting, but you know, it was year one and I think originally a few months ago, the goal was 250 people and they got 600 and they picked a fantastic venue. And I think overall went beyond my expectations in trying to make it something for podcasters by podcasters. So yeah, I've already got my ticket for next year. I'm definitely going back.
Yeah. It really made me think, do I want to go to New Media Expo? Cause here's the other thing. When I walked out to the booth, there was Ringer. Sergeant Fred is mentioning Ringer. The Ringer's a service that's coming out next month that's kind of an alternative to Skype that you basically do a double ender in the cloud. So they're not available to play with. I've got the guy's card. He said he's going to come on the show in the future, and we're going to basically record his interview using his service. There was a guy, Simple. Oh, man. I'm going to interview him on the School of Podcasting. Simple Podcast Press, I think is the name of it. It's a cool plugin that replaces the PowerPress player but keeps PowerPress installed. It just replaces the player, and it puts buttons for subscribe in iTunes, subscribe in Stitcher, click here to listen on SoundCloud, and if you have one, sign up here for the email list. And that seemed really, really cool. So there were a lot of vendors that like I wanted to talk to as opposed to getting my teeth whitened and having my back massaged at the New Media Expo. So it was classy stuff. The other thing that really blew me away was Friday night they had or Saturday night they had a party at the House of Blues, and they had a bus take us there, so you don't have to worry about that. And you get there and they were serving like hors d'oeuvres. Like have a bunch of sliders and some popcorn shrimp. That had to be expensive. And it was like cool because the whole time I'm like, what am I gonna do for dinner? Oh, wait a minute, here we go. Sliders and shrimp. Okay, I'm good to go. And that to me was just something I would never expect. I don't know if I've ever been to an event where they fed me that I didn't, you know, unless it was because it was an instructor, you know, speaker thing. This was for everybody. And so that was way, way cool. And it was just overall, man, it was like A+. Like I said, it's hard to find. I've done things on the podcast review show where somebody will submit their show and you're like, man, it's hard to find something to really say they could have improved it. But
we might be to that point with podcasting though, where the critical mass is enough that you can have your own niche. You know, you mentioned, do I go to New Media Expo next year? And I think it was you that I heard say something like, when you're at New Media Expo, you know, you're dealing with bloggers and media and now radio and, you know, because the New Media Expo is going to merge with IAAB, for a single conference. Where if you really want to niche down on podcasting, this may not have been 5 years ago. A conference like this probably wouldn't have got this kind of traction. But because there are so many podcasters now in the movement, the timing is right. So, you know, maybe it's just that situation where there's enough critical mass of podcasters. I was listening to Randy Cantrell the other day, and he's in the Dallas area. Did he catch up with you?
He did.
Was trying to find you.
Really okay, good guy.
Yeah, he's a super good guy. And he was a local guy that was like, you know, he had just had surgery and he was like, do I go? Don't I go? And he ended up going, which was cool. But I think we're to that point now. We just have enough people in the, you know, doing it.
Yeah. So it's definitely something that I'll definitely be going back next year. And to go back to the whole entrepreneur thing, there are a lot of things there that were very generic. I mean, my speech was on editing, and which was kind of fun because I had to redo, because I did an episode on that. So I had to go back and really kind of redo that from a completely different standpoint. So the whole speech was how to avoid having to edit, which my theory, since I have video here, you have show prep and you have edits. You either do lots of show prep and have less edits, or you do no show prep and lots of edits. And in some cases, if you do zero show prep, it doesn't matter how many edits you have, you're out of luck. That's universal. That doesn't matter if you're doing a sci-fi podcast or a knitting cast or a NASCAR cast or an entrepreneur show. So there was a lot of stuff there that was, you know, how to grow your audience and how to, which everybody wants to know, and networking, there was things there about how to start your own network, like the guy Matt talked about. And I love those stories. I call those journey podcasts where you start off and you're not an expert, but you want to be an expert. So you document, people, your conversations with experts. So, and speaking of experts, we would love to speak to you. You can call in right now, open phone lines. It's 845-262-2401. And if I think about it, I'll put that in the chat room, 845 262.
I guess I could have done that too.
262.
I can help.
2401 here too.
Hey, it might be interesting to hear from Matt as a new podcaster.
Yeah,
his opinion on the getting there, just the overall kind of feel of it. A lot of new stuff for you, Matt. Any big aha moments?
You know, I went to, so podcasting for me has been kind of 10 months in the making, right? And I talk about this in my first episode where I procrastinated a lot and, oh God, I'm on camera now. where I procrastinated a lot and I was scared to death and freaked out. And then finally, you know, I had a lot of friends who I met at New Media Expo in January. So I did go to that. And that was really the aha moment for me. That was the awakening and meeting people and getting into this community. So for me, podcast movement was an extension to that. And also a reminder that those folks that I met in January, hadn't seen them for 8 months, but when we got back together here in August, it was like we had never left. You stay connected offline, or rather online and out, off of, you know, the 3D world. But those folks never gave up on me. They continued to remind me that what I was doing mattered, that my story mattered, that my podcast mattered. So for me, going to Podcast Movement was about, you know, seeing those folks and having them still tell me, hey, you're important. Go do your podcast because it really will make a difference. So for me, that was the aha moment that this community doesn't give up on itself. And that was really cool.
Very cool.
Very good.
Yeah. I see somebody in the chat room mentioned Appendipity themes. They're coming out with a new theme that they say is going to be much more customizable. I was talking with Joey and Ian, which again was kind of cool to make relationships, not just with your listeners and other podcasters, but with vendors. And you may have heard, last week, I got to make a new friend at Blog Talk Radio. That was,
that's pretty cool. I listened to that, you know, I heard you talk about that and it forced me to go out and, you know, it forced me to go out and take a look, you know, it's kind of like, well, maybe I should take a second look at these guys.
I'll be interested. I haven't been contacted yet for the beta thing, but, I told him, I said, hey, I'll kick the tires. And he said, I don't think this was in the interview, but he said, I'll let you be a beta, but you got to keep giving us honest feedback. And I'm like, I don't typically have a problem with that. So he said, just because you know me now doesn't mean I want you to hold back. But yeah, that was one of the weirdest, like, out of body experiences. And then Steve Stewart was standing right there, had it captured on his phone.
It's I can imagine the feeling when he was like, and I'm from Blog Talk Radio. How I would have been like, I probably would have said something like, oh my God, I might have run even.
I wanted to.
With as hard as you've been on them at times.
Yep. Yeah, Mike. Know, well, Mike asked, is Blog Talk Radio good now? No, they're not. But they're.
I did play, I went out and played, you know, I went out and reviewed my episodes and I probably had, I had 24 out there that I had played in, you know, and because I have the free plan and I have to play in 30 minutes and cut it off and I manipulate it in some ways. But some of them were good, some of them were bad. It wasn't, and so I played a new one in. I thought, I wonder if they've increased the audio, you know, quality without us knowing about it. So I played one in just as a test. Wasn't too bad. I mean, it was okay for Blog Talk Radio. I'll be interested to see as they get better. Their pricing is, I mean, they are premium. So for premium pricing, we really need premium service. And that's just, it's just not there yet. So hopefully it's coming.
That's one of the things he said. He said, we're going to be a premium service. And I'm like, yeah, I hope so. But it's like you said, hey, if I'm going to be paying that much, I better have that. And Jason Bryant said, I've been cross posting on SoundCloud. Now I don't drive people to SoundCloud. I have links to SoundCloud on my websites, but I don't say, you know, find me on SoundCloud. I'm not using them as my primary host. And the last time I checked, they delivered a whopping 1% of my audience, where Spreaker delivers about 12, which I found that was the surprising stat.
Really? Out of that whole interesting thing. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, but you have, Dave, you got 4,000 followers on Spreaker. Yeah,
that's true.
Right. I mean, you've got a good, we go back a couple of shows. We talked about this, but it's, you know, you promote well on Spreaker. You don't promote well on SoundCloud. And if you're on SoundCloud and you're a musician and you've built an audience out there, you absolutely could take advantage of SoundCloud. You know, again, it's a great evangelistic platform. I don't think it's where we talked about this 2 weeks ago. It's not the place that you want to go to be your host, kind of your host provider. For that. So we got a call.
We do have a call. So ending in 4790, you're on with Matt, Dave, and Jim. So what's your name and what's your question?
Hi, this is Barbara.
Hey,
am I on?
You are on.
Okay, excellent. Thank you. I have a question, David. I want to thank you for the help that you gave me. So I have my Zoom H5 here.
Okay.
But when I'm listening, either like my Skype test call or just videos with everything hooked up, I get a lot of garbled sound and a lot of hiss. And I've played with the dials and I haven't been able to get rid of it. Do you have some suggestions?
Yeah. If you picture an empty glass, like of milk, right? So there's nothing in it. When you dump a half a glass of milk into a full glass of milk, the top half of the glass is air, right? You have air and you have milk. So you have the glass of milk in podcasting land is your sound level. And it's really weird, but the top of the sound level is when you go up to zero. So zero is top. That's 100%. So when you're recording things, you want to look at your levels on your recorder and you want to get it up to about minus 12 or minus 6. You don't want to have it peak. I believe the H5 has a little peak light, probably a little red light that blinks or something like that. And that means you're going over zero. And when you do that, that will be distortion. It'll sound really, really bad. And so what I usually try to do, an easy way, is just turn it up until it starts speaking and then turn down your volume until it doesn't. And that usually gets you somewhere in the minus 12 to minus 6, and that will leave, that means your glass is almost full of milk and very little air left. So in this case, you'll have a much more, you're recording more of you and less of hiss. Now, in terms of the garbledness, that might be a Skype thing. Is it a case where it sounds like Bugs Bunny on Poison, where all the, that kind of thing?
No, it actually sounds, and it's not just with Skype. I had tried even just a video while I was trying to learn how to use this, and even that, it sounded like there was a lot of bugs in the background. Just a lot of scurrying around and a lot of bugs. And when I would unplug the recorder from the computer, I didn't hear any of that, but only when it's all plugged in.
It could be, Dave. It could be this, and you check your sound coming out of the computer, the sound level, the speaker out going in, because you're coming speaker out going into the recorder, right?
I don't have it hooked up right now, but yeah, it was coming out and into the recorder.
Yeah, so definitely check. You know, you might want to take a pair of headphones and plug them in and listen to the sound quality that's coming out of that jack, just to make sure, you know, one, the jack's not broken or something's wrong with it. Two, so you can tune the quality that's coming out, right? So you're actually hearing it before it's going into the recorder, because you can overmodulate coming out of the off the PC. You know, you can be pushing too much sound or not enough on that. And then, you know, also make sure that you've got your settings on the recorder all right, because there's a separate section you'd go into that will talk, you know, there's a mic, there's controls for the mic, and then there's controls for the line in. And so you want to make sure you're going into the line in and make sure you've got that set correctly. If that's really low, it could be struggling to hear it, and so it's doing some things to compensate for that.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Okay, I'll try that. It's definitely not coming out of the computer, because I did listen to that thinking, am I just not hearing, you know, what's going on coming out of the computer? But that wasn't it. So
yeah,
I'll play more with settings, I guess.
Yeah, what you can do is try, like, plug it into line in, which means you'll probably have to turn up your input, because the line in isn't quite as sensitive, and listen to that, and then plug it into the mic in, which means you'll probably have to turn the input way down, because the mic in is way, way sensitive. And I would do that one last. I would almost think line in is going to be where you want to go.
Cable too.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true too. When in doubt, if there's anything else to record into, because what you want to do with troubleshooting in a nutshell is you try to isolate each component. So we figured out it's not the computer. We've listened to the computer. The computer sounds fine. And so the next thing would be, okay, let's try the recorder. So you play with the settings on that. And if it looks like, hey, I'm getting a good signal here, I'm up where I need to be, but it still sounds bad, then the only other piece left in that puzzle might be the cable. And that's actually one of the things I'm going to be buying this week. The cable I use to plug in the phone that you're plugged into right now, I had to kind of pull some pieces, parts together to make a cable, because the one I had just, it's flaky. It kind of comes and goes on its own. So try those. And if all those seem to work, then we will all scratch our heads together. And but you've done the first part. It sounds like you've got a good signal coming out of your board. You've tested that. So I would go back in, like Jim said, plug it into the line in and turn the volume up. And the other thing that gets confusing with this is you have a volume knob. That's how much of the signal is going to your headphones. And then you have an input, and it's the input that you want to turn up. That's going to adjust the actual how it's being recorded. And it's really easy to plug it into the recorder and then turn up the volume to your headphones and go, no, I turned it up. It sounded fine. Well, it's because you turned up the volume going to your headphones, not the level that you're recording it at. And that's a really easy mistake to make.
Dave, on the H1, can you record off the mics and the line in at the same time? I don't have one. I have a task cam, so I'm not as familiar.
On the H1, I don't think so.
Okay. So, because I was thinking maybe it's got both mics turned on, so she's recording what's coming in on the computer as well as what's being heard through the microphones. You know, those are super sensitive microphones.
That's a good question, because she has the H5.
H5. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry.
And I would have to pop up the manual and see, because I know that that's a really versatile mic. You can record like 8 bazillion things at one time. So
I know my task cam, I can put my earbuds in and I can turn the gain up on those microphones that are, and it's almost like a little spy recorder. I mean, you can pick up sound. If you point that thing directionally, you can hear someone talking across the room. So that just a thought, Barbara, it was one of those kind of things. It's like, you know, check those settings, make sure the line in is the only one being recorded. You're not picking up on something different, you know, along those lines.
Any other questions for us this morning?
I will. Nope, that's it. Thank you so much.
Well, where can we find your podcast? Or do you have it up yet?
Oh, my podcast is at sageclinician.com.
Sageclinician.com. Awesome. Well, Barbara, thanks so much for calling in.
Thank you. Bye-bye now.
Yep, have a good weekend. And again, if you want to join in on the conversation, are we sick of the jingle yet?
No, I never get sick of it.
I need a new one. 845-262-2401. That again is 845-262-2401. I actually do have some more little phone blippy sound effects thingies.
Don't change it, dude.
Oh, no.
That's the magic. You kind of get, you know, that's the magic of opening music, right? That for people.
That's right.
It's a little bit of a Pavlov's dog type concept in that when people hear your music, they automatically associate what's coming next. And so when I hear you say, hit it, ladies, you know, I know what's coming, and there's some comfort in listening. We want different content. We do want predictable content. And so knowing as you're listening to this, I know that's coming and the gals are going to sing. That for me, I mean, that invokes an emotional response. And so I want to warn people against constantly changing their opening music. Now, that being said, there are podcasters who pick, and I'm thinking of Randy in this case. Randy does a different song in and out of his podcast every single week. That's what he does. And I know that's coming. So I'm going to get, it's consistently different. So I know when I listen to his podcast, it's not going to be the same kind of deal. So again, I think to be consistent sometimes is the key.
He's consistently inconsistent.
Yeah, he's cool, and he picks music that matches what he's going to be talking about in his podcast, and so it's really cool. He puts a lot of thought into that, and so it's just one of those things that there's no standards, right? I guess I'm not saying you have to do that all the time, but for some podcasts, I really like the consistent opening, and so you kind of know what to expect.
Well, you know, I want to throw something in here. It's kind of silly, but for me, I tend to be musically inclined. So when I see somebody in 3D in real life, like when I saw Dave this morning, I heard the ladies in my head. And Dave just almost spit Mountain Dew all over the place. But, you know, when I see Pat Flynn, I hear his intro. And when I see so for me, the music associates to the person in real life. And, you know, that will never change. Even if you change the ladies, Dave, I will always hear the ladies. When I see you. So, you know, for me, that's one of the reasons music is important is at least the way my brain works is it ties people together and helps me remember who does what.
There you go. And Matt, you just jump in anytime you want. So because I have the advantage. I can see if Jim's getting ready to talk or not.
Right?
You're operating blind, man.
I was just like, oh.
That's it. Whip a shoe at me, whatever you want to do, man. That's good. let's see. One thing I thought I would share, I thought I would pull back the curtain on my little presentation. What is it? A speech? Is it a presentation? And
session, your session.
It was interesting because, I mean, one of the reasons I go there, obviously, I want to meet everybody and I want to see vendors and things like that. But I also want to grow my audience. And I'm hoping to talk to people who've never heard of me. And it's like, I don't know, 10 minutes before my presentation, I was going on after lunch. And I decided, hey, it's time to grab some business cards. And usually at a presentation, I will shake the hand of every person that comes in and say, hey, thanks so much for coming in, because I'm really glad I'm not talking to a bunch of empty chairs. And nobody showed up. Like I had – now, before I say nobody, I had a good 10, 15 people there, all of people I knew. And I'm not I'm not at all taking those people for granted. It was just weird that I – like everybody in the room I knew, which on one hand is good because that's the whole names, not numbers thing. But I was really looking for somebody to come in and go – oh, hey, I've never seen you. Hi, I'm Dave. Thank you for coming to my session. And so I had to really, there were two paths I could have gone down there at that point. I could go, oh, woe is me. I'm only speaking, here's that word I love, only 12 people, 15 maybe. Or I said, okay, I've got 12 people here that already know me. And which in one hand makes it a little harder because they kind of know I'm going to be a little left of center. And, so I said, these are the 12 people that are going to go tell the other 400 that you missed the best presentation that was there. You should have seen Dave. He was jumping up and down. He almost broke the stage, which is true. And and so I came out swinging. And what was cool is it had nothing to do with who I was. It had to do with the fact that I went on after lunch and everybody was late. So by the time it was over, the room was fairly packed, which was cool because I had people that came up to me and said, I missed the first 10 minutes. I wish I hadn't. So, but had I taken the dark side of that and went, oh, no, I spent $700 to drive here. But instead, I'm like, no, I'm going to go out and do the best presentation I can. And I think we need to kind of take that. The word only just drives me crazy. But when you only have, you know, Matt, do you want to share numbers or not?
41.
Excellent. And that's really good.
For maybe 42 now, which is a great number. And I might go screen cap that.
So when he said, if Matt were to say, well, I've only got 42 because it's his very first podcast and he's done, you know, a little bit of promotion for it. That's awesome. And so you have that in the immortal words of Led Zeppelin, there are two paths you can go by. Right. And so I chose to take advantage of that. And it actually made me flashback. I once played with my band to a bar of six people, and that's counting the waitresses. And we just played like we were playing, you know, Jacobs Field here in Cleveland, and did everything we always did and jumped around and had fun. And one of the people at that, one of the six, hired us to play his birthday party, where he then bought t-shirts for everybody. So it was one of the most profitable gigs we ever had, because we played a really unprofitable gig for the bar because there were literally six people there the whole night. It was a really long night. But you never know who's listening. And so I just thought, well, you never know who's there. And like I said, by the end of the presentation, it was awesome that I had a whole bunch of people who never heard of me. But a lot of it is mental, I think. So,
well, David, don't you think, I mean, you're out there, right? I mean, you're an accessible guy, right? Mm-hmm. You got a lot of stuff online. You've got your school podcasting. We're now doing Ask the Podcast Coach. You're available. I mean, people can call in and ask you questions. You're pretty accessible. In a conference like that, not all those guys that are speaking are as that way.
That's a good point.
And so people might be thinking, well, okay, I listen to Dave every week. And when Pat Flynn is here, or when, you know, fill in the blank, right? Or somebody they don't know. This is my chance to hear them. So, I mean, it can go that way as well, is where you're like, hey, maybe that speaks to the amount of information that you're already getting out into the community. So it's actually a positive thing, I guess, is what I'm saying, right?
They're sick of me is what you're saying.
Well, you're an accessible guy, right? You're easy to get to. You're open. You're not behind a closed door. When I tweet you, you answer back. When I send you an email, you get back to me. You're that kind of guy. There's not as much of a, you know, some of these other guys create a barrier, so to speak, and yeah. rightly so. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying they're harder. Maybe they're harder to get to than you are. And so when you're at the conference, they're like, if I'm going to be here, I'm going to take advantage and go see somebody maybe that I normally talk to. I mean, if I was at a conference like that, I see you all the time, right? Right. I have access. So for me personally, I'd be like, well, am I going to go to Dave's session or am I going to go listen to somebody else? I would probably have been at your session.
That was,
I'm just saying.
I did a thing. Here, I will, I don't know if my camera can pick this up because I want to jump up and down. But I said somebody asked, am I going to post my presentation? Yes, I am. I will announce that in Monday's show because I don't have it up yet. But I said, being from Cleveland, I said, your audience is the basket and you are LeBron James. And when people try to put crap on your show, you have to go, not in my house, right? And smack it out of the way. Only I jumped up and literally this stage is one of those like box next to a box next to a box. And the whole thing went like it was going to fall. And I kept doing that. And Eric K. Johnson was like, dude, I didn't think that stage was going to make it to the end of that. Because every time I mentioned something, I would just jump up and go, not in my house. And so that was kind of fun. But yeah, that's going to be it'll be up, like I said, by Monday. I've just got to – what I have to do, which is hilarious. You ready for this? My whole presentation is on preparation, and I forgot to hit record. So I missed the first 6 seconds of my presentation because I was a little busy getting ready and – praying in the corner, basically.
Like anything, there's a ton of stuff going on and you're nervous and it's, you know, it's not a big deal.
Yeah, Joe, I'm in Cleveland. What's his name? Good, what's his name? Daniel J. Lewis is in Cincinnati. And yeah, the other guy's in Dayton. I can see his name. Does the Cincinnati Bengals. Why can I never remember his name? I can see his face.
Suberling.
Suberling, thank you. Nick Suberling. As in, and then Cliff's basically in, he might as well be in Cincinnati. He's right over the river. So there you go. A lot of Ohioans. So
yeah, there is a lot from Ohio there. Just
the
in that
hub of podcast knowledge is in
I need to, I actually am the owner, he said in quotation marks, of the Cleveland meetup at meetup.com. I've only held a couple and every time I do, it's kind of one of those, if the tree falls in the woods, doesn't make a sound. If you have a podcast meetup and nobody shows up, did you really have a meetup? So, I mean, I've got a location and things like that. Here again, this is one of those things, kind of like a podcast. If you don't promote it, if you don't go out and connect with your audience, it's not a, if I build it, they will come. And a meetup, in my case, is a classic example of that. I went, hey, I'll do one and put it up and schedule it a month in advance, but didn't really connect, didn't go out and find anybody. And I'm starting to find more and more people in Cleveland that actually have heard of podcasting. And so now I can say, hey, why don't we all meet over here and kind of prime the pump that way.
I'm trying to get a social media podcasting group together in Omaha. And, you know, we're a little under a million in the metro. And so not a big gigantic, you know, Omaha's not a big gigantic city, but I want to get one of those going and just see how many I can draw in. I think there's probably more than I know or than I think. But I want to work on that. And you could work on that in your city. You know, if you're listening to this, there's nothing that says you couldn't put a local group of podcasters together just during the show. One started in Atlanta just as we were talking here today, right? On the program.
How epic is that?
Wait a minute. A podcast meetup in Atlanta?
In Atlanta, there's a bunch of them that are from that area. Mike Howard and such are in the Atlanta area. And they started this discussion around, you know, hey, I met so-and-so. I mean, just this is the advantage of being here live is that you have a live chat room, and a few of them all recognized they were from the Atlanta area as they were in here. So, you know, who knows if that'll become a meetup or not, but that's one of those kinds of things. You never know. And you should just throw it out there and see if people try it.
If you scroll back a little bit in the chat, it's, I guess, 8 minutes ago, you see Rich's kind of because of Dave's podcast thing. I totally just took a screen cap of that and I'm saving that because that's awesome.
Yeah, it says because of Dave's podcast, Matt Lovell travels to podcast movement in Dallas, Texas, and makes a point of talking with Dave Jackson. And then he meets with Dave in Cincinnati. We'll change that to Cleveland. And I hear him say he's from north of Atlanta, and then he'd do a little Googling to find out that his photo business is just a few miles from my house. And along the way, Mike Howard, who also listens to Dave every Saturday morning, joins the chat, and I learned that he lives nearby in
Suwannee.
I would have said Suwannee.
Suwannee, yeah.
It's the Ohio pronunciation. So now I have two new podcasts that I'm subscribed to and two new sources of inspiration. You can't make this stuff up, people. So, very, very cool.
Very good.
I did get to meet Addie. I thought she was going to be here today. So that was great fun. I got to meet Tommy. I actually met a lot of people from the chat room. A lot of people, there was a person, and she's not here today, I met in the elevator. She's like, I listen to you every Saturday. So that's always good. And then my head wouldn't fit out the elevator. That was the problem. So, but hey, we got a few minutes left. If you want to call in, again, it's 845-262-2401. 845-262-2401.
Can I ask Matt what his podcast is about?
Yeah, let's do that.
My podcast is called Minding the Gap. And the answer to the question is no, I've never been to England or anything like that. I just thought of the idea one day. But ultimately, it is going to chronicle my own journey on building better habits for myself, living life with more intention, and defining my success moving forward. And so that's what it is. It's kind of an experiment, definitely a work in progress, and we'll see where it takes me. But what I figured is that I'm not alone in my own journey of feeling like I struggle with certain things. And so if I can just talk about it and get it out there, then I'll realize that there's this community and we have strength in numbers.
So the gap is where you are compared to where you want to be.
Exactly.
There you go. I like that idea.
Did you do any planning? You know, sometimes we recommend, you know, when you start a new podcast that you kind of, you map out the first 5 or 10 shows to kind of get that going. Did you do that? And are you doing interviews with that? Or is it a mono podcast? How are you doing it?
It is going to be a mix. I did map out a few. When I find myself in an airplane disconnected from the rest of the world, my brain finally gets a chance to relax and think. So on my iPhone, I have all these notes of people that I've wanted to interview and things I want to do. And I do have several interviews that I've done. And so it's going to be a mix, kind of alternating on solo shows and interview shows going back and forth. So at least that's the plan.
And what have you learned that if there was a brand new podcaster out there who was thinking, they haven't started yet. And you're just on the cusp of, of just blowing this, the very first one out. What one or two lessons might you give to them? What have you learned?
One, which is, I think, the standard first lesson everyone learns, which is push fear out the door, get it out of the way, and just press publish, because it's not going to sound as terrible as I think it sounds. It's going to resonate with somebody. And inevitably, it's just going to, the only thing that stops me is me getting up and walking away from my desk. There's nothing else that's stopping me from doing this other than my own criticism of myself. So that's the first lesson. The second lesson is be prepared to get addicted, because as soon as I saw it in iTunes, I couldn't wipe this smile off my face. I was bouncing around the house. I was emailing my friends like, it's in iTunes. It's live, So just be prepared for that rush. And I haven't gotten to the dip yet. So maybe in 6 or 7 weeks, we can ask that question again and see where it's at. But, for me, just pressing publish on episode one was getting over 10 months of procrastinating it. So that was a win, in and of itself.
Have you ever seen the movie The Jerk with Steve Martin?
Oh, no, I haven't.
You gotta watch that. There's a scene where, classic. He runs down the street because he gets the phone book, and he's in the phone book. And he's like, the new phone books are here.
I've seen that scene.
Yeah. So that's what it's like. It's like, I'm in iTunes.
That's exactly what I did.
It is a cool moment, though, when your album art shows up inside of iTunes and the description's there and you start, your podcast starts showing up. It's for podcasters, we think of, podcasting is an art in a lot of ways. And so painters or photographers or stuff whose stuff gets displayed, that the album art, the shows that pop up, that's our form of art. And so it's that moment when you see that there, or they show up on Stitcher, or you get retweeted by Stitcher, or you get audio boot, any of those moments when that stuff actually goes live. Matt, do you have some built up in the can, or are you doing weekly and you're paying week to week? How are you doing this?
I have four, let's see, four interviews that I've done, one that I just spent some time finishing up the editing on. So traveling for a living has been something that's new to me. It's been going on since May. And what I wasn't prepared for was how much of an adjustment I was going to need to make in what I was doing with podcasting in order to make it work on the road. So that's where my, aside from just the procrastination thing, that's where one of my hangups is I have all this stuff at home. So I'm having to figure out how to make it mobile now. So it's funny when I met up with Dave, I'm like, well, you know, I have my microphone and, so it was kind of funny, but, I'm sorry. I lost the question. You said, oh, am I doing week to week?
In the can.
You know, it just kind of going with it right now. The episodes that I'm going to do by myself are probably going to be as they happen because I don't want to build up, you know, 6 weeks of solo shows and then be in a completely different place from where I was when I recorded it to when it goes live 6 weeks down the road. I feel like that would be a little disingenuous if the whole point is to chronicle the journey. But the interviews I feel like are a little bit evergreen. So, and when I was editing the one I did back in May, just the other day, I said, oh, this still applies to me now. So there's not that big of a problem that I have with that. But definitely the solo shows I'm going to try to do kind of as they happen.
Ah, very cool. Yeah, it's interesting. Everybody's, you know, everybody comes at it from a different production standpoint and what we do. I think one of the things, you know, I'd caution you on is as you do more podcasts, there's always more and more things to do. There's more networks to add it to. There's more services to work with. There's more social media to put it on. There's more ways to make it automated. I mean, every week we talk about all the different ways to do it. And I find that in just one weekly show, my production timeline has gone from about 45 minutes to about 3 hours just to get everything done for a single post and get them, you know, get it edited and pushed up and transcoded and, you know, pushed out to different. I do a different, you know, we have it on YouTube and I make a video large and a video small and we've got the audio and so you just as you get, so at some point you have to kind of make that decision. I'm going to stop and I'm just going to podcast because I think I'm spending more time producing my podcast than I am podcasting right now. So yeah, I think just a warning on that as you start getting into this, don't walk too far away from content creation as we spend a lot of time about the promotion of that content, but you need to save some time for the content creation.
Oh, that's awesome advice. And I can see it already happening. You know, I got to Podcast Movement. One of my good friends, Ellery Wells, who has been one of the ones along the journey that's been poking me for 10 months, like, Matt, where's your podcast? And, you know, he's like, well, did you submit to Stitcher? And I'm like, I totally forgot about Stitcher.
So yeah. I mean, that'll add a lot. I mean, it's right. 30%. I think 27% of my audience is on Stitcher right now. Because there's just
that's a quick ad, right? That's an RSS feed submission and you're done.
It's there. I just forgot it, you know, completely forgot it existed. I was so eclipsed by just getting it into iTunes and seeing it there. And, you know, if any of you have popped over my website, you'll see that there's almost nothing there except for the episode one. So it's just on me, this journey of just one step at a time literally is all I can do because otherwise I'll get overwhelmed and I will freak out and walk away from it. So
that's really the key is I had somebody before I went to Podcast Movement, I was talking to somebody who wanted to launch a podcast and I said, here's the problem. And they go, what? I go, it's about 28 steps to get into iTunes. And they're like, really? And I go, but some of them are, you know, are you going to have a co-host or not? I said, are you going to have a co-host? And they're like, no, it's just going to be me. I'm like, there you go. Okay. Now we're down to 26. You know, what's the name of your show? I think I'm going to call it this. Okay. Check. Is the website available? Yes. Check. Okay. Now you're down to like 23 or whatever it is. So baby step, exactly like you said, because so many people start worrying about the word we've talked about here. We get hung up on the tools. What WordPress theme do I need? And what microphone? And it's like, well, first things first, who's going to listen to it? I'm going to make a graph of this probably today, sometime this weekend. It's going to be three circles. You know, you have those circles and they intertwine and then you show the part. One of them is going to be, what do you want to be seen as? Like, why do you podcast? The other circle is going to be, what does your audience want to hear? And then the third circle is, what do you want to talk about? So there's, why do you want to do it? What do you want to talk about? What do they want to hear? And when those circles interlap, that's what you talk about. And that's really kind of step one, because I can talk about chocolate covered fish sticks, but most people don't want to hear about that. So, So you got to figure out who
you really wanted to.
Do they have those at Denny's?
But I could make a podcast about chocolate.
If you wanted to. Yeah, Matt, I'm at your site right now. And yeah, nice, simple, you know, you got it out there, right? You got a player, you got the title and some ways to share it. Nicely done.
Thank you. And the credit for that goes to Dave Jackson's Quick Start.
Thank you.
So Dave, is this a good example of the work that he's talking about, the Quick Start, and you talk about that all the time? Is his site a good example of kind of what it's like after you're done?
Let me go look at it.
And plugs
I can
and,
tell you yes, because I've done so little with it.
Okay. Do you have the 2014 thing going?
I think so, yeah.
Because it's .net.com.
Yeah, it's .net. .com, if you know,
mindingthegap.net.
If anyone wants to contribute to the .com, it's $4,500.
Really? Is that all?
Yes.
Wow. I've heard about some expensive. Well, that's weird.
Yeah. Well, good mind, for you for not giving in. That's stupid.
The answer is probably yes, then. Yeah. It's, yeah. And that's where I say, you know, I have resources for, yeah, that's just very, yeah, nothing wrong with that. And this is where he could get a hold of Becky over at Podcast Designs and say, I need some album art. And then what you can also tell Becky's and say, hey, and this is where I usually say, if you're going to stick with this theme, that's fine. It works. You might want to look into something like Aveda or some of the other more fancy schmancy versatile themes. And usually those themes will say, hey, click here to replace your header. And it'll say, you need a header that's blah, blah, blah. Matt, can you help me here?
Oh,
we have a light that's gone rogue.
Oh,
thank you.
Nice. I just saw Dave's eyes get really big.
I think I hit it with my chair.
That's going to fall. You know, and then from there, you know, that's another baby step. Okay, now that I've got my album art, now I can get some graphics going, and you start dancing this up. And but yeah, so that's a very basic looking site.
Matt, but here's the deal. This is what I like about this, is that it's not a focus on the showy, the album art, the site. I mean, again, sometimes podcasters spend so much time worrying about their site. For me, Matt, now that I know you, my propensity to listen to your podcast is going to skyrocket, because I'm like, I don't care what the site looks like, to be honest. It's like, I've talked to you now. Mm-hmm. I mean, imagine I met you at the conference or whatever, even here, and you're going to a great opportunity, because there's a bunch of people in the chat room and a bunch of people will listen to this live. But for me, now that I know you, I don't care what your graphics look like. I'm going to click play, because now I'm super interested because I met you. And so you can focus on the graphics and what the site looks like and all that stuff. You can focus on that later. If I listen to this one time and the content's just crap, and I'm sure it's not, but I probably won't be back, right? I'm like, oh, well, that was nice. But whereas if you've nailed it on this first one and I'm interested, then I'm like, oh, you know what? I'm going to pick up my phone. I'm going to subscribe to you on Beyond Pod, and boom, you're now on my list. Mm-hmm. And so I think this is a great example of really of focusing on content. I haven't listened to it yet, but focusing on content and providing the minimum that's needed. The other thing it does is it keeps you, and Dave, I know we're running right up against the time here, that's but right. The other thing it does is it gives you an opportunity to try this out before, because the graphics aren't necessary, right? It's the content that's necessary. So it gives you a chance to do 7 to 10 of these things. And you know what? You might get down the road and you go, I thought I had some things to say, but I just, you know, I came to the end of the internet and I'm done.
Right.
And so think, if you'd have spent all that time on themes and layout and, you know, getting graphics done and, you know, all those things, you would have wasted all that time and not been making content. So let me applaud you, I guess, for how you're going about this. I'd love to see a lot more podcasters go this route of, let's just get the site basic and simple and working, and where people can subscribe to it, and then let me see if this is something I want to do long term. So nice work.
Well, thank you. And you know, part of it, I think, was I spent 5 years as a wedding photographer, and doing that, the website was so critically important because it was a visual medium. And in that sense, I looked at this and I said, I'm kind of burned out on going crazy with WordPress like designs and websites. And I felt like my gut was telling me that the podcast itself was the most important content. So let me focus my energy there, and I'll back into doing the WordPress stuff. But you know, I need the WordPress site to do some show notes and to get some stuff over to iTunes. But that's, that's pretty much it. And I'm good with that for now.
Yeah. No, good work.
Well, thank you.
That's a good way to start. And like you said, baby step it through and, you know, take it one at a time. And somebody said something like, my podcast is a work in progress. I said, I have 422 episodes out. My podcast is a work in progress. I said, it's always a work in progress. I'm always looking for bigger, better, faster ways to do stuff like that. And I'm sure when I get up to episode whatever. One last piece of news when we got out the door, can I toot my horn for one thing? I hit a what would you call it? Not a monument.
Milestone?
Milestone. The School of Podcasting this week went over 1 million downloads. And it took me a while. I am not speechless a lot, but I was like, when I sat there, I kept looking at it going, really? Really? Now, it took me forever. It was hilarious because I filmed it because I woke up and I had like, I don't know, 17 to go or something like that. So I turned it on and I kept refreshing my screen. Like, oh, 3 to go. Refresh the screen. Oh, 3 to go. So I finally went out to Twitter. I'm like, would you guys please click on this link? but it was that was very, very cool. And it a humbling congrats, experience. Man. Yeah. So
good work. Good work.
So now I'm on my way to 2. That's what
Well, and I, you know, I crossed for me, and I've been podcasting for 4 years. I crossed over 100,000 this last week, and that was a big. I was looking at my awesome Blueberry stats, and I was like, oh, hey, first time I've documented that. So that's kind of fun to. It's crazy to think. I mean, Dave, that's a million. Do you know how big a million is?
Yeah, that's what I really thought
about.
That's
a lot.
Because when I sat there, because you know how I always preach, don't obsess over your stats, and there I was hitting refresh every 10 seconds.
But that's one of those major milestones, right? I mean, that's a big number.
But it was weird watching, like, okay, there's one more. And then I'd like wait 4 minutes. Okay, there's another 2. And it dawns on you that there's 2 people that just downloaded you. It really made it like, wow, that's a person. That was actually 2 people. Yeah, it was really, really cool that way. So, yeah, that was fun. That was, I still don't quite believe it in a weird kind of way. It's like, really? So, but yeah, that's going to do it for this Saturday. And nice to be back in the chair. Want to say thanks to Jim. I didn't publish it yet, but he made a cool little video of all the post-show. A lot of times we keep going after the show is done. And I will be posting that because it's some really fun clips. And Jim and I talking about sharing a Dropbox. I was laughing so hard on that. And so
it was a great moment. That was a great moment.
You can find all of this out at our website, which is askthepodcastcoach.com. Matt, thanks for coming to Cleveland, buddy.
Thank you for having me. That was impromptu and exciting, so I appreciate it.
And any thoughts on being in the studio with Dave?
Well, you know, the School of Podcasting is a 7-story building in Cleveland, and, you know, you get lost. There's a maze. You have to have a map to get around, and it's just an amazing place. Yeah, you got to scan your retinal scan to get in the door. So what an amazing place you have here, Dave. Thank you.
That's why when I turned the camera on him, I'm like, everybody's going to go, is he sitting in an empty room? Yes, he is.
Or the hallway.
Yeah, or the hallway. Excellent. So we are here every Saturday, 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Use the coupon code ASK20 to get $20 off your first month at the theschoolofpodcasting.com. And we will see you next week. I'll be talking a little bit about my talk with the guy from Stitcher. Some insights on that, and probably some more reflections on podcast movement as things roll out. And it'll be interesting to start watching the New Media Expo to see how they respond to a certain extent, and see who's going to fill Cliff's chair at this point. That's the big question. Who's going to take Cliff's chair, and who's going to lead the New Media Expo into the next version of that conference? So thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We'll see you again real soon with another episode of Ask the Podcast Coach.